Bill Cott, you have what is probably the greatest pop cultural moment that I can think of with the late, great Alan Rickman. What part did you play in Galaxy Quest?
I'm the guy who, in the movie, steps up to him and says, "By Grabdar's hammer, by the Sons of Warvan, I shall avenge you."
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 476, Remembering Alan Rickman. Listening to the late, great Alan Rickman plucking the cello and singing along with Juliet Stevenson in the other, arguably finer, ghost movie from 1990, the beloved and underrated Truly Madly Deeply. Rickman died last week and was known, of course, for playing Severus Snape in the Harry Potter movies, for his villainous turns in both the original Die Hard and the Kevin Costner Robin Hood, and for his amazing and varied work both on stage and on the screen. It turns out that several members of the RSC actually had professional and personal encounters with Mr. Rickman, so I wanted to gather those conversations in this single podcast remembrance. First up is RSC company manager Ali Bosted, who describes her encounter with Alan Rickman when he was filming the movie Bottle Shock in her hometown of Sonoma, California.
Well, I didn't really act with him. I didn't get any lines.
Okay.
But if you blink, you're going to miss me. But I was an extra when they did Bottle Shock, which was filmed in downtown Sonoma.
And Bottle Shock is not a movie that comes up in Alan Rickman's oeuvre over much.
It's really not. You have to care about the California wine business.
Right. Is it a good movie? Or do you have to care about the wine business?
You have to care about the wine business.
Okay.
Yeah. It's fine. But, you know, it's no Truly Madly Deeply.
Well, that's a very high bar.
He does a good job, but, yeah. You know. It's a wine movie.
So how did you come to interact with Alan Rickman?
Well, we knew he was coming to town. I spent most of my life until I joined the Reduced Shakespeare Company at Sebastiani Theater, where the Sonoma Film Festival happens. And the people that organize the film festival produced Bottle Shock. So Brenda came in and basically asked all the employees to send in a headshot and just a quick list of what you like to do to be an extra. So we had put that in, and, you know, that was probably 2 months before filming actually happened, and I thought nothing more of it. And then we knew they were filming right downtown on First Street East, and it was going to be a scene where there's plenty of room to stand and gawk and watch this big movie happening. And, you know, Sonoma is basically Mayberry. There's not a whole lot that goes on, so the whole town had turned out. Well, my ex was very brave and went over to say hi to Mr. Rickman at a break between takes. And I was mortified and stood frozen watching and couldn't believe that Tyler was walking over there. And then they both turned around and looked at me. And Mr. Rickman made eye contact and did that, you know, finger toward me, come here.
That imperious Snape-like summon?
You know,
summon?
It was not quite as mean as Snape in the eyes, but it was definitely, come here now. Uh-huh. So I did, because you don't say no.
No.
And he was so gracious. He shook my hand. He asked me what movie I liked, and Tyler reached into my backpack and said, "Ooh, we brought a DVD. Can you sign it?"
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So Tyler had planned this whole thing without telling me, for good reason, because I wouldn't have gone.
Right.
But I was, you know, I blush. I was bright red.
And what was the, what DVD did he autograph?
Truly Madly Deeply.
Oh, of course.
And on the back, it says, "To Allie, best wishes, Alan Rickman."
Oh, my God. You've got to send me a picture of that.
And, you know, Simon Cole put a picture up on Facebook, our actor Simon Cole, of he got a signature. It doesn't say to Simon. It just says, "Best wishes, Alan Rickman."
How weird would it have been if he had also written to Simon, "To Allie, best wishes"?
That would have been weird because that was in, like, the 90s. Got home that night to an email from the producers saying, "Can you be an extra in the morning?" Like, oh, okay.
Oh, so you weren't even an extra at this point. You were just a gawker.
No, I was a gawker. It wasn't something to do in downtown Sonoma.
Right.
So it was a 6 o'clock call for the next morning. So sure, why not? Showed up, figured out what I was going to do. And then we were at lunch. We were at Craft Services. And who was across the table from me but Mr. Alan Rickman eating potato salad?
Oh my, did he remember you?
Well, he looked at me, kind of smirked, and put his face right back down to his plate and kept eating lunch. So he was very kind not to mention me turning bright red and not being able to speak, you know.
Wow. That's very cool. And did you, so if we blink, we might be able to see you if we get the chance to ever find Bottle Shock.
If you ever find Bottle Shock, it was on Netflix briefly. I'm not sure if it still is, but there's a scene where the winemakers are wanting him to taste their wines. And there we are standing in front of the barracks, General Vallejo's barracks in downtown Sonoma. There we are standing in front, and I have a bottle of wine, and blink and you'll miss me.
Wow. So what's your takeaway of your encounter with such a great actor, and it seems like a pretty great guy?
He seems to have been a pretty great guy. You know, I didn't want to chat. There were people trying to talk to him all day on set.
God, I'm sure.
The extras, which is not done.
No, and in fact, we're going to hear a story about that later in this podcast. But continue. Oh, awesome. Yeah.
I think gracious and kind is really what I took away from that.
You know, the biggest disappointment for me about his death, aside from the fact that he was a terrific actor and everything he did, is that I always had this fantasy of interviewing him for the podcast. Because, and the one question I desperately wanted to ask him was about Snape. In the third movie, Prisoner of Azkaban.
That's the third.
Yeah. They're all attacked by the werewolf, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a moment, and it's a publicity still. There's the moment where the werewolf comes up behind him, and Snape, Rickman as Snape, wheels around and throws his arms out to protect the kids, Harry and Ron and Hermione behind him. Mm-hmm. And that gesture told me that Snape was not the evil guy that we thought. That was a spoiler gesture for me. And I went, oh my God, and this is before I'd read the remaining books or seen the remaining movies, obviously. And so I'm very curious, was that in the script? I don't remember it in the book, and I haven't gone back to check. Or was that an impulse, was that an actor impulse that made it into the movie? And I really wish I could have asked him that, because it has now come to light that J.K. Rowling told Alan Rickman that there is a lot of information behind that word always, which is the answer to the question, so you loved Harry's mother, Lily, and he went, and he says, always. And that motivates him the entire movie, and he's conflicted, and yet he does. There is some part of Harry that he loves because Harry is part Lily, and I'm you know what? I'm not going to be able to ask him. I'm just going to now believe that that was Alan Rickman's impulse to play the protective side of Snape in that moment.
Because he knew something that none of us did.
Exactly. Which is his power and great strength as an actor, and he will be missed.
Hi, this is Beth Kennedy with Troubadour Theatre Company, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Unfortunately, if you live near Marietta, Ohio, you did not see us last Saturday night, as our performance of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged was postponed until June. There was fear that the great blizzard of 2016 that hit America's East Coast last weekend would cause Ohio's roads to close, and indeed all of our flights were delayed, and our stage manager Elaine Randolph's flight out of Baltimore was canceled outright. But we will get back to perform at the People's Bank Theater in Marietta, Ohio this June to perform The Complete History of Comedy Abridged. We'll also perform it this week in Madison, Georgia, and as well as The Complete History of Comedy Abridged in Hillsdale, Michigan on Wednesday night. In March, April, and May, we'll be touring to Allentown, Pennsylvania, North Andover, Massachusetts, Schaumburg, Illinois, Saratoga, Rancho Cucamonga, and Poway, California, Gillette, Wyoming, Reston, Virginia, and Somerville, New Jersey. And of course, from April 21st to May 8th, we'll perform William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged at the Folger Theater in Washington, D.C. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. So let's continue remembering Alan Rickman by hearing from my old Chicago improv friend Bill Cott, who, in addition to appearing in such films as The Ringer and Dude, Where's My Car? And the TV show Wizards of Waverly Place, Bill played the sci-fi cosplaying nerd who confronts Alan Rickman's Alexander Dane in the glorious comedy Galaxy Quest.
So, Bill Cott, you have what is probably the greatest pop cultural moment that I can think of with the late, great Alan Rickman. What part did you play in Galaxy Quest?
I played the part that in the script said fan number one. And I'm the guy who in the movie steps up to him and says at the convention, "By Grabdar's hammer, by the sons of Warvan, I shall avenge you." And then he gives me that icy cold look and signs the autograph and sends me on my way. So
what? It's such a great moment. And for those of us who know you, you know, it was so great. Hey, look, there's Bill. Oh my God. What was it like working with Alan, or did you in fact work with Alan, or did you step up, say your line and get out?
It was a mixture of both. I didn't really have a conversation with him, which I really wanted to.
Yeah.
What happened was, you know, we're standing there, you know, where the fans are supposed to stand for the convention scene. And by the way, it was a 3-day shoot because they had to do all the, you know, the master shot of the whole convention. Then they had to do all the different setups of all the different, you know, scenes that happened within that scene. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and the camera was catching us for all that. So it became a kind of a long time, and so I kind of got to know some of the extras that were working on there. And this one guy, he was nice, but he was rather pushy. And to give you an example of how pushy he was, like behind the scenes, away from Alan Rickman, he kind of talked his way into my trailer because it was a hot day and he wanted air conditioning. And like extras aren't supposed to do that.
Right.
But he, you know, here I am. This is my first movie role, and I'm seeing kind of the way, you know, the whole cast system works. And by cast, I mean C-A-S-T-E. You know, I see what we're eating and I see what the extras are eating. And so I feel kind of bad for this guy. So anyway, I get to know him. And then I wished I would have distanced myself as far as possible, because when we get on set and we're standing there, you know, Alan Rickman, I'm sure, isn't quite sure who he's going to be doing the scene with yet. I haven't been introduced to him or anything. And had I known it was a little more protocol, I would have asked the director, "Hi, I'd like to meet Alan," or whatever.
Right.
Anyway, so this guy starts laying into Alan Rickman about, hey, you're from England, right? Right?
Oh God.
Okay. And he's trying to push his screenplay on Alan Rickman while we're all standing there waiting to go into our part. And I'm afraid that if I start either entering that situation, that conversation, which I absolutely did not want to do, or even talking to Alan Rickman, that I would now be like this guy.
Right.
And this guy was trying to also get his girlfriend, who was an extra, also into the movie or into some other production that Alan Rickman was doing. So it was really, really a very uncomfortable moment. And the great thing about Alan Rickman was, rather than, having the guy fired, which he easily could have done, or, you know, because he was an extra, but his face was in all purple makeup. So any other guy in purple makeup could have kind of been replaced for him,
right,
and continuity wouldn't have been lost. But Rickman just kind of like, he was probably just pretending to study his script, but he would look at his script and then, like, you know, he was not dismissive to the guy at all, but he was like, you know, trying to avoid him by looking at his script.
Maybe this was a clever ploy by the director to really get Alan in character as a seething star who hates where he is.
It could have been, because that's exactly what I thought when we shot the scene and he was looking at me that way. I was like, oh my God, he hates me too. Because that's that icy cold stare that he gives, which is brilliant, and it sums up his character perfectly. But I felt all that, the seething hatred he might have had for that other guy coming out at me.
Did he, and once you had filmed the scene, did you have any interaction with him, or did he just walk away?
He kind of turned to me and was like, well done. And that was it, you know.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And I got kind of like an okay from Sigourney Weaver, who was sitting next to him. Now, mind you, she was wearing the velour jumpsuit that everybody's wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really hot in it, in more ways than one.
Yeah.
And she was wearing like a t-shirt that was cut very low, because her character had to be like cut low, but it was unzipped even further than low. And so I look over at her, and she's giving me like the okay. And I'm like overjoyed that she gave me like a cool little okay from across the table. And then I'm trying not to stare where any guy's eyes would be going at that moment.
You know, you're standing in front of a table of great actors and types, you know, Tim Allen, Sam Rockwell, Tony Shalhoub.
This is before anybody knew who Sam Rockwell was. He already had something already in the can at that point.
Right.
But I had no idea who the guy was. And I was like, this guy's good.
Well, and you were standing, I realized when I saw some of the tributes to Alan Rickman and saw your clip included in the tributes, that over your right shoulder is another L.A. actor I know and really like, Morgan Rustler.
Yes,
Who has played with the Troubadour Theater Company many, many times, who I'm a big fan of. So, I mean, even down to your parts, it was cast by Debbie Zane, and who I know, and I'm dying to one day do a podcast with her about how did you cast Galaxy Quest? Because top to bottom, it's so great, even down to fan number one.
Oh, yeah, it was great. But yeah, so that was the extent of my interaction with Alan Rickman, but I had a chance to observe him being a consummate professional and a pretty cool, you know, human being, putting up with that guy.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your memories of Alan Rickman via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. And please, I hope you'll post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, son of Warvan Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Tony Joy Bolton. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Ali Bostet and Bill Cott for sharing their memories with me. Thanks to John Schwab for sharing his Alan Rickman memory in a previous podcast, so I can repost it for you now in about 20 seconds. Thanks to Reed Martin for suggesting I do a podcast on this topic to begin with. Special thanks to Beth Kennedy, one of the geniuses behind the Troubadour Theater Company in Burbank, California. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener for 1/1728 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
When I understudied Billy Zane, because it was Claire Bloom, and Claire Bloom is a living legend, she is an incredible actress.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone who can steal Richard Burton away from Elizabeth Taylor is okay in my books. They all came to see her. And I was on so much, you know, for Billy,
yeah,
for whatever reason.
Yes.
I think he was on a big ship and it was going down.
It did go down on many occasions. But I got to meet people like Leslie Caron came down. Alan Rickman specifically had her ring me in my dressing room, and I came down. She said, John, I have someone who wants to meet you. And I came down, and it was Alan Rickman in Claire Bloom's dressing room. And he said, I wanted to say that was not an understudy's performance. It's really nice to meet you. And I was like, oh, my Lord. Wow. Because it was a two-hander. And I
did he say it as Snape? I wanted to say.
I would have hugged him if I hadn't shat my pants.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.